This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
This is the New Yorker Radio Hour. Oh my God, we're not going to get through this. This is the New Yorker Radio Hour. I'm Andy Borowitz. On today's show, understanding the Trump administration by revisiting an 1881 short story by Guy de Maupassant. Also, a review of Brooklyn's controversial table-to-farm restaurant. And the creator of Hamilton unveils his much-awaited new musical about another Treasury secretary, Larry Summers.
Ooh, Andy Borowitz, on the nose as always, and very hurtful, Andy. I think I'm not going to recover. It's
I'm
okay.
I'm sorry. I actually think some of those segments would work great. The Guy de Maupassant thing, you put Adam Gopnik into that, and you've got a home run.
I think you do. I'm David Remnick, and today on the New Yorker Radio Hour, what we're really going to do is talk with some of the leading political satirists working today. So I wanted to start pretty close to home with Andy, who contributes the Borowitz Report to NewYorker.com. I could probably just read his headlines for the next half an hour, and we'd all be very, very happy. But let me ask you this. We're about, I don't know, what is it, 80 days into the Trump administration?
Is that all? 80 days?
Are you exhausted?
Are
you running out of gas?
It is exhausting.
What's been your favorite moment so far in the Trump administration?
Oh, gosh. I think that learning that Frederick Douglass was still alive made me very happy. I think that, the way he kicked off Black History Month with Ben Carson.
He's doing a great job.
His black friend. And yes, and that's one of the real tricky things for satirists in this. It's so hard to improve on the original when he said, you know, Frederick Douglass, he's been doing a great job. He's been recognized more and more, I notice. And he said it with so much confidence, for a moment there, I thought maybe Frederick Douglass is alive.
And
that was
And
doing a great job.
And from a comedy point of view, who's your favorite member of the cabinet?
Well, that's tricky. You know, people like Ben Carson and the forgotten Rick Perry, who's in there somewhere, the Department of Energy secretary, they seem like obvious candidates, except that the two of them are barely sentient, so they don't give you very much. And my favorite, who I think is still a little bit under the radar, is Betsy DeVos.
Why?
She's my friend. Well, I think in comedy, one thing that really makes a funny comedy character is sheer obliviousness. And she seems to have no sense just how out of her depths she is. I mean, she's living on the Amway fortune. So, like, her fortune is partially based on a Ponzi scheme to begin with. But she, like so many of the billionaires in the cabinet, really seems to believe she's qualified. It's really like she looks at her bank account and she thinks that that equals experience and expertise. She, I think, typifies that the most, that she is identified as the number one problem in our schools today, grizzly bears who are roaming the halls and need to be shot.
Now, I don't know if all our listeners know this, but I think now a couple of times in recent months, the Borowitz Report has been taken seriously and literally, not just here, but abroad.
This has been a problem. We, and you know this better than anybody.
And we now label it satire.
We have labeled it 15 times. I think after every sentence, we say, just kidding, in bold.
And yet, nevertheless, what happens?
Well, we did a story. It was after—
What we?
Oh, you're already distancing yourself. I did a story after Trump first alleged that Obama had been listening to him. I did a story about Trump ordering all the phones in the White House covered in tinfoil. And I guess this was a convincing story, at least in China, because the official Chinese news agency picked this up. And the story involved Trump in his bathrobe, roaming the halls, ordering people like Kellyanne Conway to go out to the store and buy tinfoil. I really didn't think that this was one of the many stories I've written that were sort of on the border of reality. This one I thought was so way off into outer space. This is, again, I think, a challenge of writing about Trump, and probably why it's best to write about other people like Betsy DeVos, because anything you write about Trump just seems credible immediately because of who he is and what he does.
You know, our colleague Malcolm Gladwell said recently in an episode of his podcast, Revisionist History, that American satire kind of falls short. It's a little too polite to its subject. It doesn't go for the jugular. That was his take anyway. Does that ring true for you?
You know, I think the British have like a different edge. I think the British are more scathing and brutal. And I think what sometimes we call satire in America, I hate to get into like labels, but sometimes it's more burlesque. A really brilliant example of this would be like Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump. It's more like a burlesque treatment Alec has said in interviews, like, I'm not really saying anything satirical about him. I'm really just saying what he does, and I'm sort of amping it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one thing I've been thinking is that once the American people made the decision that a game show host should have nuclear weapons, that was really kind of the end of satire. Like, you can't really go past that. That's good. All right. Are we done?
You can read the Borowitz Report by Andy Borowitz at NewYorker.com pretty much constantly.